All right, why don't you open your Bible to Ephesians 2. We'll eventually get there. We're going through this series, Rapture Prequels, and looking for types in the Old Testament of the rapture. In the book of Ruth, a citizen from Bethlehem named Elimelech, it's a possible name right there, his wife Naomi and their two sons moved to Moab during a famine. The boys marry Moabite girls, never a good idea, but soon their father and son, soon both father and sons die, leaving three widows. Naomi returns to Bethlehem accompanied by one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth. Ephesians 2. Naomi has lost everything and is destitute. She sends Ruth out to glean behind the reapers during the barley harvest. In the providence of God, Ruth gleans barley in a field owned by Boaz, who turns out to be a near kinsman of Elimelech. At their first meeting, Boaz falls in love with Ruth. Upon learning about this, Naomi begins planning for the wedding. Typical situation there. She sends Ruth to Boaz to request of him to fulfill his legal responsibility as a kinsman redeemer. This word kinsman or relative occurs 12 times in the book of Ruth, and it's really what the book, in one sense, is about. It's the Hebrew word goel, more commonly and completely translated kinsman redeemer. An Israelite could sell himself or his family or his land in cases of extreme hardship or poverty. The goel was the nearest living male blood relative. He was responsible under Jewish law to act as a redeemer of the mortgaged property and persons. He was the kinsman who could redeem what was lost, the kinsman redeemer. These tribal societies, very interesting, you know, in terms of maintaining the lineage and the name and all of that, and the responsibilities that they had under Jewish law, you know. So if Murph is my brother and he's going bad and I'm not helping him, then he says, well, I'm going to sell my property anyway, and it'll be mortgaged, and you can redeem it, you know, for me, and because it has to stay in our family name. So very interesting system that these guys have. Boaz was a near relative to Ruth's deceased father and her deceased husband. He was a kinsman redeemer, but he had to take their courtship into court to clear the legal obstacles that were standing in the way of him and then exercise his responsibilities as a kinsman redeemer. Essentially, there was someone closer to the situation than he was, who had the first right of redemption. That individual, when he heard about the situation, he was interested. He wanted the property. But then when he found out that Ruth was part of it, he wasn't that into it, you know. And so they made a deal involving a sandal where they would take off their sandal to close the deal. And it cleared the way for Boaz to redeem the property and to marry Ruth. Seeking her love, Boaz claimed Ruth as her kinsman redeemer. Seeing his love, Ruth claimed Boaz as her kinsman redeemer. The story ends joyfully with a baby being born in Bethlehem. Obviously, that's not the end of the story. Centuries later, a descendant of Boaz and Ruth was born in Bethlehem. He was Jesus, born in Bethlehem of the Virgin Mary. His miraculous birth made Jesus our kinsman redeemer. He's our kinsman redeemer as a man able to purchase us out of slavery to sin and death. Seeking our love, Jesus came from heaven to earth and claimed us. Seeing his love, we come to him and claim him. And so, as J. Vernon McGee likes to point out, God gives really the doctrine of redemption in the picture of a romance, so that we won't lose the heart of God. I love McGee. He says that in all the books of theology that he's read and all the hundreds and thousands of pages on redemption, he said not one of them ever even mentions the book of Ruth. It just blows his mind because, you know, even as an illustration to just say, hey, you know, this is how this works. And it just shows us that if we're not careful in our study of theology, we lose God. It just becomes study. God goes to great lengths to say, yes, I've redeemed you. It is a legal transaction. You know, you had to be redeemed under the law, but it is also a love transaction. I loved you. And the way Boaz loved Ruth and was nervous, and I mean, not that God was nervous, but, you know, he loved her with that romantic love and was concerned that she become his wife. And so now there's also deeper connections with Ruth. Ruth was a Gentile girl. As such, she would have been cut off from Israel, but she was brought into a place of blessing as a bride. In the New Testament book of Ephesians, where I've had you turn, chapter 2, verse 11, you see this is precisely the condition of you and I who are not Jews. We were Gentiles cut off from Israel. Verse 11, therefore remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, skip to verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been brought into a place of blessing as a bride. If you want to flip over to chapter 5, but these are scriptures you're familiar with, chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Verse 32, it's a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. And so Ruth becomes typically then a picture of God's dealings with Gentiles during the time of Jewish apostasy between the first and second comings of Jesus. The family of Elimelech, departing from the land of Israel, is a picture of Israel being scattered throughout the world after having rejected Jesus in his first coming. Ruth was brought into blessing during their scattering. So it is that the church is brought into blessing during this interval prior to the second coming of the Lord. The position of the book of Ruth, even in the Old Testament, seems important. It, in one sense, it could be arbitrary, but it turns out to be important. It's not accidental that the book of Ruth appears after Judges and before 1 Samuel. Judges tells of the failure of the Jews under the law, and 1 Samuel tells of the setting up of Israel's kingdom under King David. Between the failure of the Jews under their law and the great King, Jesus Christ, Ruth is blessed as the Gentile bride. Just so today, the church is blessed as the bride of Christ, between the failure of Israel under the law and the return of Jesus as the King to establish his kingdom. Salvation goes forth to Ruth, a Gentile, during a time of failure in Israel. This is typical of the age of grace in which we live. Acts ends with Israel rejecting Jesus, and Paul saying in chapter 28, verse 28, therefore, let it be known to you that the day of salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Ruth was brought to Israel at the beginning of the barley harvest. This would be the time of first fruits, celebration of the first of the harvest. First fruits typically speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because he's the first fruits of many who would be saved during the age in which we live. Just as Gentile Ruth was brought to the place of blessing at first fruits, so the church is brought to a place of blessing thanks to Jesus being the first fruits. Commentators also say that the book of Ruth is read by the Jews at their feast of Pentecost. Pentecost was fulfilled in the New Testament when the church was born. Thus, even the Jews, without knowing it, celebrate the harvest of the Gentiles into the church by reading Ruth during Pentecost. Threshing in Bible times was the harvest time activity by which grain was removed from the husk and the tares, separated from the wheat. The threshing floor was the place where this activity took place. The threshing floor was flat and hardened by the passing of oxen over the sheaves, sometimes pulling a sled designed to separate the grain from the husks. After threshing, the stalks and grain were thrown up into the air so that the wind might blow the unwanted chaff away. This is known as winnowing. The threshing floor is a place of blessing, therefore, a place where the grain of the harvest was actually taken from the sheaves. The Bible refers to the increase of the threshing floor in Numbers and to a time when the floors shall be full of wheat in Joel. And so it's a place of blessing, but it's also a picture of judgment. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 3, he compares the judgment of the end times with a man threshing and winnowing grain. Micah 4:12 tells how the Lord will gather the nations as sheaves unto the floor. And so there's a picture of blessing and a picture of judgment. And so some commentators, and I'm with them, see the threshing floor as an idiom in the Bible that can allude to the Great Tribulation. Now, in the book of Ruth, we didn't read it, but you know this, Ruth, when she comes to Boaz, during the famous threshing floor scene when she makes her proffer of marriage, is at Boaz's feet. And so Ruth, the Gentile bride, is at the feet of Jesus during the threshing, or what we would say is during the tribulation on the earth. And so the typical picture we get, the rapture prequel we see, is what is the position of Ruth in relation to Boaz? Boaz is a type of Christ. Ruth is a type of the church. She is at his feet during the threshing. And if the threshing can represent the judgment of the tribulation, which Jesus says it does, then the church is at the feet of Christ during that time. As with all types, you cannot teach doctrine from it, but knowing of the rapture and of our position safe with Jesus in heaven during the tribulation, then we can go back and are justified in seeing it typically in Ruth's position of blessing on the threshing floor. Pretty cool.